For a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Do you fear this man invention that they call atomic power? Are we all in great confusion? Do we know the time or hour? When a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blooding out the works of man.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout, will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There is one way to escape it, be prepared to meet the Lord. Give your heart and soul to Jesus, he will be your shield and sword. He will surely stand beside you and you'll never taste of death. For your soul will fly to safety and eternal peace and rest.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There's an army who can conquer all the enemy's great men. It's the regiment of Christians guided by the Savior's hand. When the mushroom of destruction falls in all its fury great, God will surely save his children from that awful, awful fate.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout, will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
Over the years, I've been studying the Word of God on different subjects on how the Lord wants us to operate. I've been studying on the heart of God, how God loves everyone. And I have been studying on what Jesus did when he came, why he came. He came to fulfill the law. For you see, when Jesus came into this world, he didn't only come to save the world, he also came to live a life that was going to please God. He lived perfectly. He fulfilled the law in his life. Thus, the Bible teaches us he lived the perfect life for us. This is why we turn our hearts and our lives over to him and believe by faith that he did it for us. The Bible teaches us he was wounded for our transgression. By his stripes we are healed. By his precious blood we are saved. And by his lifestyle, every jot and tittle was fulfilled in the law. The law of God was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and God was satisfied. Now, when I listen to different preachers, they would try to somehow explain that we have to live the life of Jesus. And if you can, good for you. I'm all for it. We should try to imitate the life of Christ. But I want to warn everybody, do not condemn yourself if you come up short, if you are a failure. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, if somebody hits you on one cheek, then you offer him the other. And you have to do it with a heart that loves the other person, and that can be pretty hard for many, many people. There's a lot, quite a few laws that the Lord gives that we have to fulfill. The Bible teaches us, if you look upon a woman with lust, it's like committing fornication. He doesn't hold back any punches. He simply tells us it's a matter of the heart. God sees the heart, and we need to understand these things. We need to understand how to pray for one another. We need to live according to the way God wants us to live. But at the same time, when Satan tries to condemn us in our failure, we need to look on to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and accept forgiveness, because it's the blood of Christ that made us free from sin. Today I want to teach on an interesting scripture, on an interesting subject that will teach us how to pray for one another. And in these days, in the days that we live in, we find it harder and harder to ask God to forgive people. Not too long ago, I listened to a pastor who the police were harassing that prayed like this, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Is that right? Don't they know what they're doing? That's what Jesus prayed at the cross when he hung on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But here's the difference. These people did not know that they were crucifying the King of the universe. The people that we are seeing harassing preachers today, they know exactly what they're doing. So how do we pray for them? We know what their agenda is. It is to shut down the churches. So how do we pray for them? Well, in this message today, I will give you scripture that'll show us how to pray for people who go against God. And it'll surprise some of you, because religion has taught us, turn the other cheek regardless. Religion has taught us to lay down, be meek, let people walk over you. We have to remember, Jesus came as a lamb, was crucified, but he arose as a lion. So let the Lord open your heart, because we are in perilous times, and we need to understand how to decree and how to pray. So before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the truth, to the signs of the times. I thank you for the word of God, and I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, it tells us this, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So if you have a problem, you need to go to the Word of God, for it says it is inspired by God. God inspired it. God inspired the people that wrote it, and they wrote down his commandments. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So this is the first thing we have to understand. The Word of God is our guideline. It is our roadmap. And we should study it on every situation that we come across. And God will give us the answer. First of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, here is what it teaches about salvation. Talking to Timothy, Paul says this, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Salvation can only come through Christ Jesus. Not too long ago, I was listening to people wondering if there's only one door into heaven, only one way. I listen to people who think that they have some wisdom in this world. They were higher ups in the world's government, and they were discussing how many ways there were to God. The strange thing was that they believed in God. One had this idea, one had that idea. And one guy said, I read the Bible, I read scripture, and the instructions are these. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the door. Anyone who wants to walk into this kingdom through any other way is nothing but a thief and a murderer. So the child of God needs to understand that salvation comes through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures, if you study them, they will make you wise in the way of salvation. So you need to study it. We need to study it. Many young people especially do not study the Word of God today. One person said not too long ago, one preacher said, it's useless to tell young people today they need to live according to Bible principles because they don't read the Bible. On Facebook, you see comments like this. Is it right for Christian couples to live together before they get married? What an insulting question. For a Christian to ask, it's an insult to the Word of God, even asking a question like that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1, it tells us this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of these that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When I study these scriptures, I look at what's happening all over. You can see it in the so-called gay pride parades that they have. Many of those people claim they're Christians, claim they love God. But here is what it is. They love pleasure more than they are lovers of God. We can see it in the sports world. Many Christians would rather go to some sports game than go to a prayer meeting or a church service. These things we could show you one after another on how people who claim to be Christians operate. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man shall sow, that it shall also reap. If you want to be unholy, then you're going to suffer the consequences of your choice. But this is what the Bible teaches us. We will have these people in the last days. All sin is sin, regardless what sin you're in. If you do not repent and turn to Jesus, then there is no forgiveness. You will die in your sin, and you will have to spend your eternity separated from God in the eternal lake of fire. So the question is, how do we pray for people who you simply and clearly see and that they know what they're doing is wrong? They're going against God. I have a few scriptures that will give us clear answers on this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 8, it's talking about Moses. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these that also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The Apostle Paul was talking about the people in his day that were coming against the truth of God, that were coming against the way of salvation. He likened them unto Jannes and Jambres in the day of Pharaoh, when Moses went into the court of Pharaoh. We all know the story where Moses threw his staff down and turned into a snake. And these two devil priests, they were in the occult, they were worshiping Satan. They threw down their rods and they turned into snakes. But Moses' snake, ate up the other two snakes. Well, when we study what happened in that time, finally one of the plagues came about where those two said, "We cannot duplicate it. This is the finger of God." They acknowledged God, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they proclaimed they cannot duplicate the thing that Moses did. And I am afraid this is exactly what's happening today. This is what happened in the days of Paul. And we can see these things. People know exactly what they're doing. So the question is, how do we pray for them? One of those people in Paul's days, in the Apostle Paul's days, was Alexander the coppersmith. He withstood Paul. He tried to come against him. In 2 Timothy in chapter 4, in verse 14, it tells us, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." Did the Apostle Paul pray for the coppersmith and say, "Lord, forgive him, he doesn't know what he's doing"? No, he said, "Reward him according to his works." He prayed, "Reward the coppersmith according to his works." And what were his works? His works were evil. So the Apostle Paul put it like this: "Lord, reward the coppersmith with evil. Bring evil into his life because he withstood me in this day." There's another story of the Apostle Paul trying to minister to a deputy by the name of Paulus. But this guy had a sorcerer with him. Those days, I guess, people would have sorcerers giving them advice on how to operate. And this guy's name was Elmas. And here's the story in Acts chapter 13 in verse 8. "But Elmas, the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the way." Personally, that's what I believe Christians should do with these people who come against them when they are doing the work of God. They know what they're doing. They know they're out to steal, kill, and to destroy. If they would be innocent of the fact, then you could pray for them. But to pray for people who know exactly what they're doing is wrong and are still doing it, I believe we need a correction on that. And the Apostle Paul gives us the answer. This guy had to be blind for a season. The coppersmith had to feel the wrath of God, because I believe the prayers of the Apostle Paul were answered all the time. And when he prayed that God reward him evil for evil, then I'm sure the coppersmith experienced incredible evil in his life. So we need to open our hearts to these things, study the word, take them to heart, and become a blessing to those who truly want to know about God. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly
we study on what's happening in the world scene today. It is unnerving and very frightening, because we can clearly see the world has an agenda, and that is to get rid of God on every side. This slowly started by restricting Christianity, and that happened all the time throughout the world's history. In different countries, they would slowly restrict the Christians, just like they're doing now, closing down the churches, giving grief to them that stand up against them. Well, I got to say this, God is going to retaliate, because we're heading for a great end time harvest, and He is not finished. Satan will not be able to stand in His way. God is going to have the last say. Up till now, we were doing the planting and the plowing, and we've seen incredible things throughout the history of the church. But now we're coming to that latter rain where God will pour out His Spirit, and many, many will turn to God. But at the same time, the world system, through the devil's commandments and through his directions, will try to stop the church. The Bible teaches us in Jude chapter 1 in verse 17, But beloved, remember you the words which are spoken to you before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. There be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. The other day I was watching, as they were showing on TV, how they were bringing in programs into a grade 1 and 2 children in the schools, teaching the children how to get into perversion, into sexual perversion. I couldn't believe that they would be so blatant and even show it on TV. But that's what they're starting to do in the schools. Or should I say, they've been doing it, but now it's starting to come out into the open. It's ungodliness. It's from the devil. We need to stand up and come against these evil things, or the children of this generation will be sucked in by Satan and destroyed by him. These be they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, he says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he is telling us we should keep having a relationship, praying and coming against these things, keeping ourselves in the love of God. And then it says, on some have compassion, making a difference. Like I said before, there are some who are totally anti-God. And the Apostle Paul taught us how to preach, how to pray for them, just like he prayed for the coppersmith. And others save, it says, with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So he tells us we need to know the difference in people. There are some who innocently don't know what they're doing, but many are being driven by an agenda, and they're sucking in those people who are innocent. And God says we need to pray for them, that God will open up their eyes. Have you noticed that the last year or two, there was a lot of talk about conspiracy theories, but now those conspiracy theories seem to turn into facts. So what is happening is for real. It is not something that's just going to go away unless we, the children of God, seek the face of God. We've been asleep at the wheel long enough. We need to start coming against these evils that are encroaching in on our country. In Jude chapter 1 in verse 24, it tells us this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Because in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the winner. The Bible teaches us every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today is not the day to be passive. Today is the day to be bold, to proclaim, and to come against the evil that is trying to overtake this country. So open your heart to this. Study it and become a blessing to the God that you serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.
away.